Heavenly Father, we come by the blood of Jesus Christ into your presence. We thank you for your goodness and mercies, which are new every morning. We thank you that your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. We again thank you that you have put a treasure inside of us in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power is of God and not of ourselves, who has made us able ministers of the good news of Jesus Christ, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. Father, we pray this morning as we open your word that by your Holy Spirit you'd grant to us that we might behold wondrous things from the word of God. And we look to you, Holy Spirit, who takes the things of Messiah, Christ, and makes them known to us. And Father, we thank you and praise you and purpose not just to hear the word, but help us to be doers of the word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we are on a series on spiritual warfare, exposing the enemy. And, you know, the devil doesn't like it when you mess with him. And but we want to expose him and expose his works. And the Bible is very clear. It says God would not have you be ignorant of his devices. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we've been looking at this passage by the Apostle Paul. Well, we say by the Holy Spirit spoken and written as God moved upon him to write. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 says, finally, my brethren, or my sistren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means strategies, tricks, and deceits. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood or against human physical people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, he goes on. So the Bible tells us very clearly in this passage that we are not in a battle with physical beings. Our battle is not physical, our battle is spiritual. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my disciples would fight. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom that is here and is coming. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. Whether you want to be engaged in this battle, whether you want to believe in this battle or not, you're in it whether you believe it or not, or whether you accept it or not. Because there is a demonic spirit called Satan, Lucifer, he used to be called, which means light bearer. Lucifer was an angelic being who rebelled against God, was cast out of heaven, and took a third of the angelic host of heaven in rebellion and deception and came against God and was thrown out of heaven. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. Sometimes people say, well, why did God create the devil? God did not create the devil. God created an angel who was one of his anointed beings who covered the presence of God, and Lucifer rebelled against God. And you say, how could somebody rebel against God when you're in the very presence of God? Well, the Bible gives us a little insight into him. It says he was perfect in the day that he was created, but because of his beauty, the Bible says that he was consumed with himself and rebelled against God. So we know all we need to know is there is a devil, and God did not create him. He's called by many names in the Bible, the dragon, the deceiver, the liar, many, many names. It's just important that you know that he does exist and he is real, and his demonic spiritual legions are real. Jesus, when he was on the earth, dealt with spirits a lot. He cast devils out of people quite a bit. He cast unclean spirits out of people. He cast deaf spirits out of people. He cast dumb spirits where people could not speak. He cast spirits out of a young boy who was taken with a fell into fits of palsy and would have convulsions. And he cast the devil out of him and set him free. Jesus cast a legion of demons out of the madman of Gadara. A legion by Roman standards would be 1,000 to 2,000 soldiers. So there was 1,000 devils possessing this man, inside of this man. And if you say, well, how could 1,000 demons? Because, well, you see, spiritual beings don't take up space like physical beings do. So it's not the same thing. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus cast 7 devils out of Mary Magdala. And so Jesus cast devils out of people. So there were demon spirits. Jesus would walk about and these spirits would see him and they'd cry out, we know who you are, Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? So we need to remember that even though the devil is real and demon spirits are real, the devil is afraid of you. You never want to be afraid of him. You never want to be afraid of spirits. we live in a world today where the enemy wants, you know, especially this time of year with Halloween, which is just demonic. There's nothing good or redemptive about Halloween. It came from the devil. It's of the devil. Everything about it exalts demonic things, exalting fear, exalting terror, exalting bloodshed. So there's nothing redeemable about Halloween, period. It's evil. So because of that, not Halloween, but we have to remember that the devil wants to portray himself as somebody that we need to be afraid of. And that's why, again, I say I don't like horror flicks, I don't like horror movies, because why would you feed on something that is designed to put fear in you, is designed to deceive you, is designed to tell you something that's a lie? Because in these movies that really depict the devil a lot of times, it's always that he is powerful and we can't deal with him. But the Bible says that we have authority over the devil. We have authority over spiritual beings. And we're going to talk more in the next messages, the next few messages. We're going to turn our attention to specific devils or spirits that people deal with in their personal lives. Because we do deal with spiritual beings. And a lot of times people are dealing with evil spirits when they think it's just, well, you know, I'm just depressed, or I've just got confusion in my mind. There are a lot of things today in America and around the world that, because Americans tend to ignore the spiritual realm and only think in the realm of the natural and the mental, that we ignore the most important realm, and that's the realm of the spirit. But God is a spirit. We are a spiritual being. And angelic beings are real, and demonic spirits and beings are real. And we ignore them or imagine that they don't exist at our own peril. Because the greatest deception the devil wants to perpetrate upon us is that he doesn't exist. Again, spiritual beings don't want to be detected. They want to hide out. They want to manifest themselves in a way that you don't imagine that you're being harassed or oppressed or afflicted by the devil or by these demonic spirits so that you won't deal with them. And there are certain things in our society. If you were to go all over America, there are people who are literally possessed of devils. There are people who are oppressed of devils. There are people that are afflicted by devils. Some sicknesses are a cause of demonic affliction upon people's bodies. There literally is a spirit called a spirit of infirmity. The Bible says Jesus cast a spirit of infirmity out of somebody. There are unclean spirits. Unclean spirits have a lot of varieties of applications. They can be a spirit that literally one of the characteristics of people that are afflicted or oppressed or demon possessed is that they don't take care of themselves. They're filthy. They live in squalor. One of the things you will notice, you know, you don't see this in America in the streets. I was watching a documentary one day about people that they claimed had schizophrenia. And schizophrenia is a very, very real disease and comes into mental illness, and it comes in a lot of different shapes or sizes. But there are a lot of people who, and I'm not saying, again, if you're suffering from a mental illness or suffering from something like this, that you are possessed of a devil. I'm very clear about saying that. I'm not suggesting that, you know, you're somehow evil or anything like that. People do suffer from mental illness. Sometimes mental illness is a function of your brain not working properly. You know, there could be chemical problems within your brain makeup, or your brain has been damaged. And that can afflict people. But there are people that have mental problems that it is not a physical thing. It is a demonic oppression that is upon them. Well, in this particular documentary I was watching, it was about people who had schizophrenia. They claimed they had schizophrenia, most of these people. And a lot of these people were homeless. And a lot of people in America that are homeless actually have mental disorders. So they say they're mental disorders. But they would oftentimes, when the sun would go down with these people, they would become violent. They would become troubled. They would become agitated. And they would often get arrested, and they'd lock them in jail overnight just to protect them and protect people around them. And the wardens would often say, we have a feces eater. So they would sit in there, these people, and they'd literally eat their feces. Well, when you're eating your feces, that's not mental illness. That's a demon. That's a demon that has a hold of somebody. Because this is a common thing in developing nations where people are demon possessed. They will harm their bodies. They will eat their feces. They will not take care of themselves. They're filthy. That is an unclean spirit that has come upon people. Now, again, we hide this stuff in America, or we imagine it's just physical. It's just mental. A lot of it is not mental. It is demonic. And the devil has to be cast out of people. They have to be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And because we have ignored this and not dealt with it, many people are afflicted by spiritual beings, and we're trying to just simply always medicate people or deal with it in the physical, but you can't medicate the devil out of people. You can't medicate things away from people. And again, I'm very cautious about saying these things because I don't want you to come to the conclusion if you know somebody and they're having mental problems, it's because they're demon-possessed or that, you know, but it can be a devil, and this takes spiritual discernment. And we don't want to ignore this. We don't want to go, well, you know, that's just crazy talk. You know, there's no such thing as spirits and evil spirits, and spirits can't get a hold of people. Yes, they can. And we're going to talk more about that as we go on in this series, specifically in how do we deal with demon spirits when we're dealing with them in our own personal life or we're dealing with them in somebody else's life. Because again, sometimes the things we're dealing with, we think that we're dealing with a person, but really there's an influence behind that person that we need to recognize and take authority over in their life, or else they will not be free and this spirit will seek to harass us. Again, when we talk about demon spirits or we talk about evil spirits or spirits of darkness, it's all the same thing. Paul says here in Ephesians, and Paul is very emphatic, he says our fight is not against flesh and blood. So what is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about what we would commonly call demon spirits. Some this could be translated in different ways, but he lists here a different degree of their power. He talks about principalities and powers. So last week we were talking about how demon spirits or these ruling spirits or evil spirits, that they want to control things. They are controlling and they want to control governments. If they can't control a government, they want to control cities or they want to control regions. And we can see throughout history, as we talked about last week, we won't go into this in great detail, but we saw last week how that throughout history, if we think about the things that have happened throughout our history of the world, there have been great, great, great evils afflicted upon people in nations because the rulers of those nations were given over to demon spirits. They were influenced by darkness. The bloodshed of the nations that has happened all over the world has predominantly come about because of evil spirits influencing leaders right now in all over the world. Think of Adolf Hitler. You know, Hitler was a man possessed of a devils. This was a madman. Hitler, if you look at some of his speeches, he would fly into fits of rage. At times his generals would tell him things that he didn't want to hear, and he'd fly into fits of rage. Well, when somebody flies into a fit of rage, they're opening themselves up to the devil. There literally have been people throughout history when they flew into a fit of rage that have dropped over dead because of yielding to evil spirits. And Hitler was demon-possessed. You don't do the things that Hitler did if you're not possessed of the devil. And if you look at the Third Reich and you look at the Nazis were incredibly into the occult. They were always trying to harness occult powers to do their work. Studies have found out that the Nazis were incredibly in, they were filled with homosexuality, perversion of every sort, and occult practices. They were trying to make, they were trying to invoke demon powers to do their works with them. And so they were given over to the devil. I am fully convinced if you read Richard Wurmbrandt, who was the one who began the Voice of the Martyrs ministry, Wurmbrandt wrote a wonderful little book. It's called Marxism and Satan, how that Marxism, communism, is at its core satanic. That's why communism is such an evil, evil ideology. That's why I rail against communism, because communism is responsible for more deaths in the 20th century than all the deaths of people in the history combined. If you added up all the wars throughout history, communism killed more people in the 20th century alone than all the wars and miseries of humanity throughout the ages. Well over 100 million people slaughtered by communism, and they continue to slaughter people. And the root and the spirits behind communism is is satanic. So rulers throughout history have done incredibly wicked, wicked things because the rulers are yielding to spiritual beings. Now, if you go around the world today, you will find that there are countries that are filled with darkness. North Korea, for instance. North Korea has been on the top of the list for the last 17 years as far as the most oppressive anti-Christian nation on the planet. If you ever watch, it's interesting, there's documentaries about North Korea. One of the things you'll find about North Korea is the people in North Korea. And when we're talking about nations, I'm not talking about the people in the nation. I'm talking about the leaders of the nation. But North Korea, there is a ruling demonic spirit that rules over that nation. There are over 50,000 Christians in death camps in North Korea. 50,000. And the people in North Korea live under great, great oppression and great, great deception. People die in North Korea on a regular basis. People that have defected from North Korea say that one of the things you will commonly see people starving to death, and they say the government wants you to starve to death. They don't want you to have food because when you're hungry and starving, you're not going to rise up in rebellion. And the people of North Korea literally believe there's no other world outside of North Korea. They think that they're still at war with the United States of America. And they think that the emperor of North Korea, the leader of North Korea, they think that they are gods. They are their gods. They are so deceived that they can. I saw a interview with a young lady who escaped North Korea, and she said the only reason that we knew there was something beyond North Korea is we could see China across the river from our home and see homes over there. She said the first time when I finally escaped and came to South Korea, when I was getting ready to go to South Korea and was going to escape from China because she defected into China, long story, but she said when she was in China, the people said, well, if you go to South Korea, you will have freedom. And she said, what is freedom? She thought, well, freedom means I can wear blue jeans, or I can wear pants, or I can wear certain clothes. She had no concept of the concept of freedom. She said, the saddest thing about my country, she said, when she finally came to the United States and started understanding freedom, is she said, the saddest thing about my country is that the people in my country do not know they are in bondage. They do not know that they're completely deceived. That's the way people are when they're under the control of the devil. When people are under control of the devil, they will call what is wrong right and what is right wrong. And that's what we have going on in many nations of the world. So North Korea is one of the most oppressive nations upon the planet. There are many countries today that are full of darkness. Their leadership is wicked. They kill and murder their own people. They oppress their people. As I said last week, communist China is one of those nations. Now, the Chinese people are beautiful people, but communist China, the leaders of communist China are wicked. They harvest the body parts of their people. They imprison their people. They brainwash their people. They control their people completely. They are an evil regime. And we have no business doing business with them. It's appalling that the Western world is in bed with the harlot communist China because it is an oppressive regime. And our leaders won't even talk about it. People in the church won't even talk about it. And China is trying to take over the world. The communist leadership is trying to take over the world. And they are the greatest threat to the human race right now on the planet next to the devil himself. It's a pathetic thing that some podunk preacher up in northern Wisconsin has to say that, and our leaders won't say it, for crying out loud. Well, do you know more than they do? Well, apparently I must, because I just said it. But we should realize these things. Well, anyhow, so we know that spirits can take hold of nations. They can take hold of leaders. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 17, we read this last week. I'm just going to review here. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, light bringer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the ground. You who have weakened the nations, king of Babylon. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Most High. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the remote parts of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But in fact, you will be brought down to the grave, to Sheol, to the remote recesses of the pit, the region of the dead. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not permit the prisoners to return home? Now, in context, the scripture is talking about Babylon. and how Babylon is going to be judged and being judged by God, and God destroys Babylon and brings it to its knees. And but also, as many prophetic scriptures are operate in scripture, there are multiple layers here. So we have the physical, natural Babylon that this is addressed to. But I think we can easily see that there's some layering here, some language in this that portrays who? Satan. Because this is what the Bible talks about. It's not just the king of Babylon. I believe, and many scholars believe, it's also referring to Satan himself. He is the one who did what? Well, in the end days, when Satan is judged and brought before the throne of God, and he is judged by God and finally cast into the lake of fire, people are going to look at him and say, is this the one that weakened the nations, that made the nations made the paradise a wilderness? And if you look at what the devil does, and when people yield to the enemy, when you look at what happens in nations and cities and places, when people yield to spirits of darkness, he destroys, because the devil is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does he do? He takes a paradise and turns it into a wasteland. If you've ever watched the documentary about the siege of Berlin, Berlin was considered one of the greatest cities on the planet before it was overthrew in World War II. And if you look at what Berlin was like before it was destroyed in World War II, and look at it after World War II, after it was destroyed, it was a pile of rubble. Over 500,000 civilians, if I'm not mistaken. It might even be more than that. My last recollection, it's been a while since I saw this, but I think it was over 500,000 civilians were bombed and murdered, killed in the war when the Allies bombed Berlin. It just devastated the city. And you look at throughout the ages, you look at pictures of Ukraine right now. What happens when war takes place in cities? It leaves people homeless. It leaves people as refugees. It destroys the land. It destroys cities. Because when the devil takes over nations, and I'm not just talking about war here, I'm talking about nations that reject God and people that reject God, a nation that forgets God will be turned into hell, the Bible says. It'll be turned into the grave. It'll be turned into darkness. All the problems and things that we are facing as a nation right now is because we are neglecting and ignoring and rebelling against God. Our cities are turning into places of violence that you can't live there. They're turning into places of darkness. Every time you turn around, it seems like there's more insanity going on, because when you embrace darkness and you embrace the devil and you embrace his ideas, he is going to destroy you. And that's what we're seeing happening in the nations of America right now. Chicago, Illinois, as I said before, sometimes it's 40 to 80 people are murdered in a weekend in Chicago. It's a dangerous city in certain places. Now, again, cities have places that aren't dangerous. But you look at the leadership of some of these places and you scratch your head and said, what's wrong with these people? Don't they have any brains at all? Well, because when people are not listening to God and they're not yielding to God, they're yielding to something else. And that devil wants to destroy them. And everything we're facing in the world right now, everything that is destroying this world is only because human beings are neglecting God. Because the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And when you don't have any fear of God, you don't have any wisdom either. And this is why we have leaders all over the world that just do the dumbest things. And because they're yielding to things that are ungodly and darkness. And when you yield to demonic spirits, a couple of things happen. Number one, your leaders are corrupt, and they do corrupt things, and they do things that don't help their people and do things that oppress their people. Another thing that they do is they bring in darkness into the nation. And when you have darkness, when you have the devil come into your nation, you have spirits of darkness come into your nation and into your cities, what happens? You stop prospering. The land will not yield to you anymore. You begin to have famine. Again, last week I said there are 9 million people a year on this planet that starve to death. About 25 to 30,000 people every single day in the world starve to death. And again, are they starving to death because there's a lack of food and resources? No, they're starving to death because of wicked leadership, because corrupt nations. That's why. We could easily solve the problem of world starvation and hunger within a few months, if we could get rid of the nations that are oppressing people. But what we see is that demonic spirits gather in nations, they gather in areas, they gather in regions, and they gather in cities. Because when what what spirits do is they congregate. When people yield to demonic spirits, those spirits, it invites other spirits. If you go all over the world today and you go into developing nations like India, you'll find that almost every region and almost every town and many pagan nations, and I say pagan meaning they don't know Jesus Christ, you'll find that almost all those regions, all those areas, all those cities worship a pagan, ungodly deity. And they offer sacrifices to those gods, and they worship those gods, and they sacrifice to those gods. And those gods, behind those spirits, are demons that are influencing people. And so those spirits bring death and destruction. And so you can't, sometimes people think the whole problem with the world is economic. If we could just get, you know, redistribute the wealth, if we could just redistribute, take the money from the rich and give it to the poor, it'd solve all of our problems. No, it wouldn't. You could take all the money on the planet today, which is a number of trillions of dollars. I think there's something along $3 trillion, $3 to $8 trillion, if I'm not mistaken, circle the globe every single day. So there's not a lack of money. The problem is that the money is not used as it should be. Some people are satanic reservoirs. But if you took all the money from the rich people, and I wish Americans would realize this, that we got to make the rich pay their fair share. Well, in case you didn't realize that the rich pay more taxes than anybody. Poor people don't pay taxes. Rich people pay taxes. But we got to make the corporations pay more taxes. What's going to happen is you make corporations pay more taxes, you're going to pay more taxes. Have you noticed how much food is right now? Have you noticed how much gas is? That's because there's a shortage. No, there's no shortage. It's because you're being controlled. Because as you tax people and you raise the cost of production, it costs you more money. So everything the governments do to help people, it doesn't help people. It always hurts the poor. So the very poorest of the poor all over the planet have been hurt since globalism came around because you got stupid demonic leaders. And so that's just simple math. Well, the real issue is we really should be paying a whole lot less taxes than we're paying. That's the issue. Why doesn't our government just stop spending more money? Why don't we get rid of all these wasted bureaucratic bureaucracies that we run our government and are wasting money? Let's get rid of the National Education Association. It's demonic anyhow. Let's get rid of all these bureaus and havens of darkness in Washington, D.C. Let's just get rid of them. But we need those, Pastor Tim. Says who? Who told you that? We've got to have those. Yeah, so we can send them our money and waste our money. The problem with America is we have too much government. And more you give government power, the more destructive it is. So that's not our message today, though, but I threw that in for extra because you needed that. So the truth of the matter is redistribute the wealth. Communism does not work. Because if you took all the money on the planet, redistributed equally, within a few years, all the same people would have the same amount of money. Because oftentimes people don't know how to manage what they have. And a lot of the problems of nations and people is not economically. It's not an economic problem. It's a spiritual problem. And until you change the allegiance of gods that you're worshiping, you're still going to continue to have those problems. Well, let's go on this morning because we've been talking about this, that the nations, when they embrace darkness, they will have problems. Now, we know that these demonic spirits can rule over regions. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, Daniel was seeking the Lord to see what would happen to the nation of Israel in the last days. Remember, Daniel had been carried away into Babylon, into captivity. And why were they carried away? Because the people had neglected and rejected God. So God turned them over to their enemies. They were carried into Babylon. And Daniel was seeking the Lord as to what was going to happen to Israel in the last days because he had just been reading the prophet Jeremiah and he understood that all these things came upon them because of their sin. And Daniel was seeking the Lord, so he said, I set my heart to fast and seek the Lord. And for 21 days he fasted. And finally an angelic being, a spiritual being from God, comes through and says, Daniel, I've come for your words. And when you first prayed, your prayer was answered, and the answer went on the way. And it says in verse 20, then he said, do you not know why I have come to you? And now I must, or excuse me, verse 12, it says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia would be modern-day Iran. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now, in case you don't know anything about Persia, Persia is one of the end-time princes that will be in league with the Antichrist in the last days. You know that Iran is the greatest perpetrator of terrorism in the Middle East and around the world today? Do you know that the billions of dollars a government sent to Iran, they are using to buy arms and munition to kill people? The people of Iran would turn from Islam today if it weren't for the fact the country is so oppressive. If you ever watched the documentary, it's a fantastic book, fantastic movie. It's called Sheep Among Wolves, Part 2. It talks about Iran has the greatest revival of any country on the planet right now, in spite of Islam. And one of the things the believers say, if I told you that if you go to mosque in Islam, if you go to mosque in Iran, they're all empty. Why are they empty? Because people hate Islam. They don't want anything to do with Islam. It is oppressing their people. So, and that's true of most of the Muslim world today. If these Muslim countries would give people the choice to follow something other than Islam without killing them, Islam would die a quick and swift death, because it is very oppressive. So anyhow, going on, Daniel prays, seeks the Lord. The angel comes and says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Here's an interesting little side note. The kingdom of Persia. During the Roman Empire, remember in the early point, first century of Christianity, how Christians were fed to the lions. They were thrown, and millions of Christians died at the hands of the Roman emperors who called themselves gods. You know that a lot of Christians were in Persia during that time? And Christianity grew and spread to Persia. And you know that there were more Christians murdered in Persia than there were in the Roman Empire? Because there was a ruling god, that same prince, that prince of Persia has been there for generations. He was there then, and he was there in the early church, and he's still there today. That's a ruling spirit that rules over that nation. And nations have spirits that rule those nations. And because the gospel has not been able to penetrate and break the power of that, there's not been enough preaching of the gospel, there's not been enough prayer, or whatever the case may be, there are ruling spirits that rule over those nations and they oppress the people. In verse 20 it says, then he said, do you not know that I have come to you and now must return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. Now, so what happened to the Medo-Persian Empire? Well, Alexander the Great overthrew the Medo-Persian Empire. And Alexander the Great conquered that empire and broke it up. And so what happens to nations? Well, sometimes nations go bankrupt, and sometimes nations are overthrown by another nation. And because another nation overthrows it, it breaks up the power of that nation. And so you say, well, is that the hand of God? Oftentimes it is. God will send forth another nation to invade a nation, to destroy that nation, because they're wicked. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's demonic. And we have to discern. And sometimes God allows these things to play out, and in the end, it becomes better for the people than it was before. Again, the ultimate is that God takes hold of nations, but he is saying here there is a prince or one of these ruling spirits that was ruling over the nation. So one of the things we see in nations is that demonic spirits want to control kings, they want to control leaders, they want to control people in places and positions that can influence people. Again, we look at our nation today and we see there are many numerous areas where we are seeing an increase in demonic activity. In America was founded upon biblical values, biblical truths. America was founded by our early founders as a Christian nation. Now, is America perfect? Have we done dumb things? Have we strayed from the path? Yes, we have. But that does not mean that those who originally came to America, our founders, did not have godly intent and godly hearts to form this nation after God. There is no nation. Israel. Has Israel always done everything they should be doing? No, and they still aren't. But our nation was founded upon biblical values, biblical principles. And because of that, our nation prospered. God prospered the United States of America. It is only as Israel, it's only when we have turned away from God that we are seeing that we are falling apart, because our morals are falling apart. De Tocqueville came to the United States of America from France. De Tocqueville was a French philosopher, and he wanted to see what made America such a great nation. And De Tocqueville toured America, and he came to the churches of America. And after he came to the churches of America, he said, I know why America is so powerful. It is because of the preaching that is coming from the podiums of America. That was his conclusion. It was Christianity and the values and the belief in God that was driving this nation, that drove it to become one of the greatest powers and greatest nations on the planet. So anybody that tells you, well, America was founded as a slave trader nation, it was oppressive, I'll be glad to buy you a ticket and you can move out. It's nonsense. That's stupid. This is one of the greatest nations and most liberating nations in the history of the world. Have we always been perfect? Absolutely not. Was slavery terrible? Yeah. And we paid for it with the death of over 500,000 Americans fought in the Civil War and to end slavery. And so stop listening to these leftist nonsense nincompoops. They don't know what they're talking about. They're Marxists. And how they love to condemn America and try to tear it down. Well, move somewhere else then. If you don't like this nation, move out. You know, what about all the ones that were saying, well, as Donald Trump becomes president, I'm moving out. You're still here, aren't you? Do us all a favor. Please move out. We'd love it. So anyhow, yes, we have problems. We have problems. But America was founded upon biblical values and biblical principles. And because of that, we have prospered. And de Tocqueville recognized that. As a matter of fact, the Chinese government in the 1950s did a study upon the United States of America. How do you overthrow America? What is the greatest strength of America? Well, they found that the greatest strength of America was what? Christianity. You have to get rid of Christianity. Marxists have known this forever. The planks of the Marxist idea to overthrow America was destroy the church. If you destroy the church, you'll destroy America. If you destroy the moral fiber of a nation, you destroy the nation. Why has there been such an assault from Hollywood and the music industry and the entertainment industry and the education industry upon Christianity? You don't see the entertainment industry going over after Buddha. You don't see the entertainment industry going after Islam. You don't see them going after Eastern mysticism. But what do you see them going after? Christianity. You don't hear Hollywood blaspheming any other god. You don't see them blaspheming Muhammad. Why? Because only Jesus Christ has power, and they know it, and the spirit behind them know it. Why do they attack biblical values? We have been under assault, and our youth and our people have been under assault from Hollywood and from the entertainment industry for decades, trying to tear down the values that are instilled in us by biblical Christianity. And we are seeing the moral rot of it. We are seeing what it's doing to our youth. We have suicide as one of the top killers of youth. It's the number two killers of youth in America right today is suicide. Think about this for a moment. American youth are the most affluent, prosperous generation ever to live on this planet. Ever. American youth have more money, more affluence, more ease, more wealth than any generation ever in the history of the world. And they stand to inherit the greatest inheritance from the baby boomers ever on the planet. Ever. And yet they are miserable. We have youth who are killing themselves. We have youth that cannot tell if they think that they're a man or a woman. They can't even identify who they are. I don't think I'm a boy. I think I'm a girl. I'm a girl trapped in a man's body, or I'm a man trapped. And we have the education system and the entertainment system and our government pushing this nonsense upon our youth. This is insanity. Oh, you're a homophobe. No, I've got some brains in my head. This is nothing but propaganda. This is nothing but propaganda, and it is destroying our youth. Transgender kids have a 40% suicide rate. 40%. Well, that's because they're bullied. No, that is not because they're bullied. Some of them, perhaps, it is because they are confused. And we find that now that the government is pushing for kids to get mutilated. Think of this. Allowing a six-year-old to take hormone changers, hormone blockers, to change your gender. That is absolutely child abuse. Amen. We won't let six-year-olds drive a car. We won't let six-year-olds go hunting. We won't let six-year-olds drink alcohol. We won't let them vote, but we're going to let them decide about what gender they're going to be that's going to change their life forever. This is stupidity. This is what happens to a nation who forgets God. And I wish that preachers would grow something and start standing up and saying what I just said. We have got to start raising our voices in the pulpits of America. Well, they won't like us, Pastor Tim, and you'll be called a hate monger. I don't care what you say. If you don't agree with the devil, he's going to call you a hate monger. Yes. But if you don't say it, you are at... It was Bonhoeffer during World War II, before Hitler took over. Bonhoeffer coined the phrase, to not speak about evil is evil itself. It was the church's silence prior to World War II and Hitler's rise to power that caused Hitler to have power. And it is the church's silence today in the face of darkness that is allowing darkness to continue. We need preachers and Christians to stand up and say, this is wrong. Amen. Amen. And that does not mean we hate people. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. But truth is not what I want it to be. Truth is not something to be. If I believe it's true, it's true. That's total malarkey. Truth has to jive with the way the world is. Otherwise, it's just suppositional truth. It's just preference. You know, I might say, I think chocolate ice cream is the best ice cream on the planet. And you might say, well, no, I think vanilla ice cream is the best ice cream on the planet. Well, I might say, well, that's your truth. Is that true or not? Are we both true? Yeah. To you, vanilla ice cream is the best ice cream on the planet. To me, chocolate ice cream is the best ice cream on the planet. Are we both right? Yeah, because it is a personal preference. It's a subjectional truth. But if I say, there is a sun up in the sky, and you say, there's no such thing as a sun up in the sky. There's no such thing as a sun. The sun doesn't exist. There's no such thing. It doesn't happen. There's no sun. And I say, well, let's walk out the door, and we say, look at that big yellow thing up there, the big shining thing that burns your eyes out if you stare at it. And I say, that's called the sun? And you go, there is no such thing as sun. To you, you might believe in the sun, and you might think there's a sun. If you believe in the sun, that's fine. But I don't believe in the sun, so my truth is equal to your truth. Now, which one is true? My truth is true. Because we have to understand that things that are absolutely true, other than preferential truth, meaning to taste in something, that they have to jive with the way the world is. So for somebody to say there's no sun, that is not true. They're believing something that's a lie. Because it doesn't jive with reality. But we have a society today that thinks 2 plus 2 is 5. And if you don't think 2 plus 2 is 5, there's something wrong with you. Well, brother, that's called stupidity and insanity. That is called delusion. And this is what happens to people when they do not follow after God and his truth, as they become delusional, they become deceived. And this is what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13. Let's look at this scripture here. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, the sea represents nations. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its heads, on its horns. And written on each head were names that blaspheme God. Now, notice what this represents. This is metaphoric language here describing a beast that is rising out of the nations of the world, and it has horns, and those horns represent rulers. And notice what is written on those rulers. And written on each head, on the heads or the authority, heads represents authority, written on the head were names that did what? Blasphemed God. Now, what God do you think they're blaspheming? The God of the Bible. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The true and living God. The only God. They're blaspheming him. Why do people blaspheme God? Because they know that God is the only true and living God. That's why. So these rulers, these leaders are blaspheming God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and throne and great authority. Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies. So who does this beast get its power from? The devil, right? Then the beast was allowed to speak blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months or 3.5 years. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy. The beast was allowed to wage war against God, God's holy people, and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. So this beast is an enemy. end-time confederate of nations, conglomeration of nations that are going to arise out of the nations of the world that are going to be directly opposed to Almighty God. Now, the closest thing we have during the time this was written would have been the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was a blasphemistic empire. The Roman rulers professed themselves to be gods, and they required people to pledge public allegiance to them or under penalty of death. So the early church felt and dealt with what we would call the mark of the beast in having to burn incense to Caesar. The latter-day church, the church of the end time, will be faced with burning a pinch of incense to these end-time rulers who claim to be God. And we are heading toward that. I love what Rick Renner talks about regarding this. He said, the early church faced the front side of the hurricane. For the last number of years, we have possibly in certain places of the world been in the eye of the storm, but the latter-day church is going to face the backside of the hurricane. Now, we know that throughout the earth, believers have been being slaughtered and murdered for their faith. There are more Christians right now suffering than any time in the history of the world. Christians are the most persecuted group of people on the planet today. The media will not talk about this. They ignore it. If any other group than Christians were being persecuted, hunted, and murdered as Christians are, it would be all over the news. But because it is Christians and the media is anti-Christian and Hollywood is anti-Christian and many of our leaders are anti-Christian, it is barely talked about. And Christians, even people in America, have no idea this is going on, because it does not fit the narrative that Christians are the oppressors, because the devil wants people to believe that we are the oppressors, when in fact, Christians are being systematically murdered, hunted in nations, and genocides are taking place. In some cases, the government has flown fighter jets over villages and machine gunned them down and murdered the whole village. Do you hear that in the nightly news? Do you hear anything about that? Do you hear anything about that? No, you don't hear it because the nations don't want you to hear it. But if this were other groups, it would be all over the news. This is anti-Christianity. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Listen to this about the United Nations, because I am convinced the United Nations is not of God. We should get out of the United Nations. This is an evil, 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 demonic Marxist organization. We have no business being in it. We need to stop looking to this organization, this government body, as the savior of the world. It is United Nations troops have come into the nations and raped women and murdered people. They are terrible. They are evil. It was started by the Marxist after World War II. It is an evil organization, and it is anti-God, it's anti-America, and it's anti-liberty. Listen to Robert Mueller, former Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. We must move as quickly as possible toward a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a single-world leader. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like a dictator. It sounds like the Antichrist. Listen to what, this is from a Christian World Report in 1991, Volume 3. In order to achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism, fidelity to family, tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas. But go on and listen to the new Prime Minister of Italy and listen to her speeches. What did we hear from the American press about this woman? She's like Mussolini. She's far right. She's like fascist. Go listen to her speech and listen to what she talks about. She talks about the fact they hate us because we believe in the traditional family. They hate us because we believe in God. We hate us because we are faithful to our country. They hate us because we will not allow them to turn us into a number and destroy our identity. They want to, and she says this in all of her speeches, they want to destroy our identity so that all is left, that we have no identity. We're just a global number that consumes. She is spot on. This is a woman that really knows what she's talking about. Go listen to her speeches. Don't listen to anything the continually negative communist lying news tells you. The news media in America should not even be called media, news media. It should be called propaganda. It's such liars. Go listen to her speeches. That's fantastic stuff she's saying, because this is exactly what they're talking. What did it say here? This is out of the World Report from the United Nations. What do they want to get rid of? They want to get rid of our individualism, our fidelity to family and traditional values, our patriotism. There's a reason we have borders. A country without borders is no longer a country. Pastor Tim, this is political. This is not political. This is common sense. It's truth. Yeah. It's called truth. Something that Americans seem to have no clue about what it is anymore. This is stuff that preachers used to preach about all the time. Until we bought into the idea there's a separation of church and state. Funny that separation only flies one way. Funny separation of church and state only means we don't want you religious fanatics having any say in what goes on in the world. So what we should have is just secularists, atheists, agnostics, and God-haters running our nation. And people of faith should have no say in what's going on. So listen to what this says. This is the Reflections of Christ from Findhorn in 1978. It says, and this is from a leader of the, this was a speech at the UN. It says this, no one will be part of the New World Order unless he carries out an act of worship to Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he receives Luciferian initiation. Do you know that Luciferianism is a huge thing right now among New Agers? Luciferianism is a huge thing among AI conventions. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this particular investigative reporter has been going to different artificial intelligence symposiums, which they have all over the country. And how many of you realize what artificial intelligence is? Well, if you don't, you really need to find out. Just do a little research. I've talked about it a bit. But one of the things they've found is when they go to these artificial intelligence symposiums is a lot of people that attend these are New Agers, a lot of people into the New Age. And one of the things they find is there's a lot of people will get up and talk about Luciferianism. And what they'll say is that Lucifer's been given a bad rap by preachers like me, and Lucifer's a really good guy that wants to unite the world in peace and safety. So do you wonder why I'm tearing the mask off him? You wonder why I get a little hot under the collar and I get a little radical about these things? Because he's a liar and he's deceiving the world. Yuval Noah Harari, if you haven't seen Yuval Noah Harari, he is Klaus Schwab's right-hand man. This is a atheistic homosexual Jew who speaks a lot of blasphemistic stuff about God. And he is Klaus Schwab's right-hand man of the World Economic Forum. A very, very smart guy. But if you want to know where these people are going, I would urge you to listen to some of this guy's speeches. Listen to what he says. This was an interview in 2000, I think it was 2015, yeah, in with General Electric. And listen to what he says. Here's the question. Harari, you've predicted that humans could achieve a sort of divine state through biological manipulation or genetic engineering. Will that evolution happen? Here's his answer. This isn't a poetic metaphor or a vague metaphysical claim. It is a concrete prediction. Throughout history, humans have ascribed to God specific abilities such as to design and create living beings, to reshape their own bodies, to control the environment and the weather, to read minds and to communicate instantly across space, and to escape death. Now listen, to escape death and live indefinitely. In other words, he's saying they've ascribed this to gods. And here's the punchline. Humans are in the process of acquiring all of these abilities, and then some. Business as usual will bring us there. If humankind simply carries on with its present economic, scientific, and political patterns, humans are very likely to be upgraded into gods within a century or two at most. Yet the same technology that may upgrade humans to gods may also make them useless. So Harari, if you listen to a lot of his stuff, he basically points out that we will be integrated with artificial intelligence and we will be basically a human consciousness. If you ever watch any of the old Star Trek movies, Star Trek was filled with New Age ideology that we will evolve into these super beings that will no longer need bodies. We just have a machine that does everything for us. We'll literally upload our consciousness to some artificial intelligent thing and we will no longer, we'll just be a brain walking around with some artificial intelligence. This is the craziest stuff. Now, is there an element of reality in this? Of course there is. But what these people are trying to do is they're trying to do exactly what the devil said. I will be like God. This is godless atheism, godless Satanism, trying to become God but we don't want the true and living God. This is what it says in Romans chapter 1, where Paul said, when what was known of God was clearly evident, they would not worship God as God, but instead they became foolish and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. This is exactly what's going on with these people. And why am I talking about this? Why am I even bringing this in? Because the nations of the world are being brought into a funnel to be controlled by the devil in the last days. And we are seeing an increase of demonic activity. See, all of these things that you listen to about AI and all of these technologies, they seem so wonderful. These are going to make our lives fantastic. And listen, AI has some benefits to it. It really does. And that's what the devil, you know, that's how the devil gets a hold of people. It has benefits. But one of the things, they'll talk about all of the things, and then it's always the devil in the details, though, because they'll always end it with, we must make sure that we're very careful with these things. We must make sure that somebody watches over these because they could become bad in the wrong hands. Huh. Okay, so we've gone from abortion safe and legal to abortion from any reason whatsoever up to and now beyond the point of birth, and we have people now proposing that you kill your baby even up to a month old. And how long will it be like they have in some of the European countries today? They have in Canada. They've euthanized about 4,000 people in Canada, where your mom or dad, like, hey, mom and dad, you know, it's too expensive to take care of you. You're a drain on the government rolls. Hey, we can't afford to take care of all these old people that are no more useless. They're useless now. They're not contributing to society. They're just a drain on the system. You think I'm being facetious? We have utilitarianism right now. Well, if you can't contribute to society, if you're old and you're crippled and, you know, we got to take care of you, then we should just take you out to the veterinarian and give you a shot and put you down like your dog. This is where this is going, folks. When you devalue one form of life, you develop all form of life. So now we've gone from abortion safe and legal, which we heard for decades. We want nobody's for abortion. Nobody's for abortion. We just want to make sure that abortion is safe and legal for women. Now we've gone from that to cheering on abortion, to champion abortion, to having rallies, or we have preachers stand up and say, it's God's blessing upon us to have abortions. The high priests of abortion. And now we've gone from that to, hey, if you want to get rid, you have this baby and you find, oh, maybe they've got a birth defect, or maybe there's something wrong, maybe they're deaf, or maybe there's something wrong and it's going to take us some money and time and effort to take care of this baby. Let's take it back to the doctor and get a new one. Hey, doctor, I'll just drop it off, and guess what it'll do? The doctor will put it out of, you know, kill your baby, and then they'll take that baby and they'll harvest its body parts and sell them and send you a dividend check. That is what is happening in a nation when we abandon morality and abandon the truth of God's word. And it will not stop with that. It will not stop. Because once you've opened that Pandora's box, when you open Pandora's boxes to these things, what happens is it doesn't stop there. Just like when Barack Obama and the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage. This is what I said. I said, this is a Pandora's box. You don't even hear about homosexuality anymore. It's all transgender. Within the matter of 2 years, we forgot that homosexuals were even existed. Now everybody's transgender. Everybody's pangender. Everybody's Peter Pan. You know, everybody's crazy pan. Within a matter of a couple years. And now, as I predicted, because I used to have discussions with people, I said, the next thing, it will be pedophilia. And I remember people that were trans and who were homosexuals online. Oh, how dare you ascribe pedophilia to us? We are not that kind of people. And now we have drag queens gyrating with giant phallic symbols on their bodies in our public school systems. We have pornography being pushed upon our kindergarten kids in the name of transgender goddesses. This is stupidity and sanity. And this is what happens to a nation that forgets God. So make no mistake about it. If you think this is going to stop with, well, it's all about women and women protection. And believe me, I'm not against women. I understand women have sometimes abortions because they're pressured by their parents, they're pressured by their boyfriend. It is a bad thing. But you are enabling irresponsible males when you get an abortion. You're just letting males off the hook. Well, I impregnated 10 women. They all got abortions. I'll just keep on going. Well, what we ought to do is take you to the veterinarian. Yeah. You crank out more than 2-3 kids, and you're not married, you're not taking care of them, guess what? You're not cranking out anymore. Snip, snip. Well, let's wrap it up with this scripture this morning. I know I'm doing a lot of rant and raving. That's awesome. I love it. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Man, we're just covering it all. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to finish with this scripture. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, this is the Apostle Paul. Let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say the day of the Lord has already begun. In other words, the end time, we're right in it. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God. Now, we call this the great apostasy. So one of the characteristics of the last days before the day of the Lord is there will be a great falling away from the faith. A great apostasy means to turn away from. That's what that word in the Greek means, an apostasia. There will be a great falling away and a rebellion against God. And the man of lawlessness will be revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself, defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when the time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. So Jesus will destroy the Antichrist. This is a man totally given over to possession by the devil. It's a world leader possessed by the devil. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power, signs, and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. Now listen to what I'm saying. Because they what? They refuse the truth. They're hearing what I'm preaching this morning. They're hearing these kind of things. I'm not receiving that. That you're just nothing but a hate monger. I don't accept it. Well, guess what? If you refuse the truth of Scripture, you open yourself up to deception. That's what it says. And what happens? Because they refuse the truth. They refuse to accept it. So what will happen? God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. You know, I used to say this to my wife. I said, I really am not sure how the devil is literally going to deceive the world. But then we came along with a cell phone, smartphone, which is deceiving so much of the world. This is why our youth are in the mess they're in today, because they're getting their information and they're getting their discipleship from TikTok and social media. That's where they're learning their values. That's where they're learning about truth. They're learning it through social media. And they're being deceived. They're being led astray. And so, other than the power of Jesus Christ, you know, I look around me this morning, I don't have tons of youth sitting here. Most of you are a little older. So how often do you think it's going to influence a youth if they're sitting on social media 30 hours, 40 hours a week, and then they're not even hearing the truth of the gospel? The power of God that can set them free. How easily will they be deceived? And this isn't just youth. Make no mistake about it. This isn't just youth. This is adults as well. Amen? So, I want to wrap this up with this. And this is an interesting little statement. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And Paul is speaking about the last of the last days. I apologize, we're a little bit late here this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. This word difficult is translated in the King James as perilous times. The word here, perilous, is the word kalapos in the Greek, and this word means dangerous or difficult. It's used to describe the madman of Gadara when Jesus met this man who cast the devil out. It says he was very hard to manage. Matthew translates it exceedingly fierce. That word could be translated as kalapos, exceedingly fierce. This is what Rick Renner said. This is out of his book, Sparkling Gems, and I thought this was worth sharing. This is what Rick Renner said, who's a Bible scholar and fantastic teacher. He said, "This truth was reinforced to me several years ago as I traveled by airplane across the Atlantic Ocean. As I looked out the window of the plane, I saw a vision unfold before me. It was as if someone pulled a cord to draw back a curtain separating the natural realm from the spiritual realm, and an entirely different picture came into clear view before me of the world. I understood that I was seeing demonic forces that are currently attempting to spread and exert their influence. I immediately turned to Denise and said, 'The spirit realm just opened up before me, and I witnessed a vast buildup of demonic activity occurring over the nations of the world. It is an attempt to wage war for the control of the nations just before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.'" That is the hour we're facing right now. Now, let me just close with this and say this to you. Paul goes on to describe some of the conditions of the last days. I wish we had time to go into this, but we simply don't. We're going to have to end. The truth is, we are living in an hour of great darkness and great deception. And this demonic activity is on the rise. And if people are not walking with Jesus Christ and they're not following the truth of the living Word of God found in the Scriptures, they are going to be deceived. Jesus said it would become so bad that if it were possible, even the very elect, even people like the apostles could be deceived. But for the elect's sake, those days will be short. And we are living at the precipice of the end of the ages. And there's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. There's only one truth that will set us free and give us power over the darkness of this age. And if we are not walking with Jesus Christ, we will be prey to the devil's attacks. So I would urge you this morning, if you're not right with God, you need to get right today. This is not an hour to be messing around. There's only one life. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. If we are not living, walking with Jesus Christ, we will be lost. If we are not walking with Jesus Christ, we will be deceived. And if we are deceived, we will be lost. Multitudes right now are in the valley of decision. It is not too late for America. It is certainly not too late for the nations of the world. This gospel will be preached in every nation as a witness, and then the end will come. We are in a time of great spiritual warfare and great battles for the souls of the men and women of the nations. And we are the people of God, and we are called to go into the nations to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the bottom line? We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to tell them about the kingdom to come. We need to warn people about what's coming upon this world. People are confused, people are scared, and people are really troubled by what's going on. It's obvious by what's going on in the political realm. But I will guarantee you, you haven't seen anything yet. And the Bible says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It is going to become such a world that everything people put their confidence in this natural world, is going to fall apart around them, so that all that's left is God and God alone. And they're going to look for something. The only one, there's going to be two forces that give them answers. The Antichrist in his kingdom, oh, follow me, I'll solve all your problems. What do people look to? The government. Oh, the government will solve our problems, the problems they created. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. The problems they created. Oh, we have a gasoline shortage. Wonder where that came from. Oh, war in Ukraine. No, you mean the shutdown and the destruction of our economies all over the world that you created and starved people to death because of your stupid ideas? Oh, it's Vladimir Putin's problem. No, it's not. It's because the global leaders shut the globe down and destroyed the supply chain and shut down the supply of fossil fuels. And we're still doing it. This is insanity. See, this is what happens when we listen to dumb people, when we listen to people controlled by the devil. We will not prosper when we are controlled by the devil. We need to be controlled by God. And I'm not talking Republican or Democrat, because both parties, the wings are broken on either side of that bird. So I have no confidence and the current leadership we have in either party, because neither one of them care a hoot about you. They're both in bed with the devil. Now, there are good people in certain places. There are good people that want to do what's right. But don't put your confidence in the arm of the flesh, because we know the arm of the flesh will fail us. It has failed us time and time again. Our only hope is Jesus Christ. So let's pray this morning. And if you're not right with God, I want to lead you in a prayer of repentance. And those watching I just want you to pray, though, because your eternity hangs in the balance. Is that worth a few more minutes? I think so. Again, this prayer is not the end. This prayer is only the beginning. You can pray this prayer and walk out of here, watching on the internet, and you can pray this prayer and just keep living your life the way you've been living it. That's not salvation. It's not a magic prayer. It's not a magic formula. You have to turn from your sin, and you have to follow after God. So if you're not willing to do that, then this is not going to mean anything to you. But it's a profession of your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'd just like to lead you in that this morning. Lead us all in it, a profession of faith and repentance. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned against you. I've broken your commandments, and I deserve your judgment. I pray you'll have mercy upon me. I pray you'll forgive me, and I renounce my sin. I renounce the devil, and I renounce his kingdom. I declare Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, is my Savior, and I will follow you, Jesus. I will live for you, Jesus, and I will honor you and submit to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. From this day forward, I bow my heart, I bow my will, I bow my knee to Jesus Christ and him alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I bless you. I know these are some heavy things, but glory to God, we've got to expose the darkness before we can talk about the light. Amen. So, Father, we bless you and thank you and praise you for this day. We pray that the Lord will bless you, the Lord will keep you, the Lord will make his face to shine upon you and grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.